We love Christmas. I love Christmas. Well, most people love Christmas. It's great. But frequently, I hear something like this. Maybe it's because I'm a minister and people think they have to say this to me, but it's basically like this. It says, I'm increasingly worried or concerned that the meaning of Christmas is becoming lost. That most people are just focused on the ritual of gift-giving and the other stuff of Christmas than they are in the true message and the true meaning of Christmas. And you know, as you think about this, as the years go on, we hear it more and more. In fact, that was also what St. Francis of Assisi thought over 800 years ago. And it inspired him to create what was the first ever nativity scene in the year 1223 in central Italy in a cave. He did it in an attempt to place the emphasis of Christmas back on Christ, the worship of Christ, rather than upon secular materialism and gift-giving, which he felt was taking over. He set up a manger with hay, and he had two live animals in this cave. Then he invited the villagers to come and to gaze upon the scene while he preached about the babe of Bethlehem. We read this in one account. This man of God stood before the manger, full of devotion and piety, bathed in tears and radiant with joy. The Holy Gospel was chanted by Francis, the Levite of Christ. Then he preached to the people around the nativity of the poor king. 800 years ago, St. Francis of Assisi understood that it is only as we focus on Jesus and the significance of his humble birth that we can overcome all the distractions, the materialism, and all that surrounds and threatens to consume Christmas today. Like St. Francis this morning, I really want us to focus on Jesus, to gaze upon Jesus and the story of Christmas with awe and wonder, to try and grasp just how awesome and wondrous his birth was and the significance of it. To help us do this, we are going to look at Matthew chapters 1 and 2. So if you have your Bibles, please open them as we dip in and out of these two chapters. Remember that Matthew wrote his gospel firstly for the Jews. His desire was to show them how wondrously Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. And as we look at these prophecies this morning, let us grasp with wonder and awe just who Jesus is. First, we see that Jesus is the Christ. In Matthew 1 and verse 1, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew wanted his readers to see that Jesus was the Christ, the one anointed by God to deliver his people, that they would be in awe and wonder that God had finally sent them the Savior, the Christ. Here he mentions David as God's had promised to David that one from his family would be that anointed one. We read of it also in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From the roots, a branch will bear fruit. In Jesus, this is fulfilled. That Jesus was that shoot and branch that bears much fruit. And for us as Christians now, we are that fruit. He also mentions Abraham, which as we read of in Genesis 22, verse 18, God said to him, and through your offspring, using the singular offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. In Jesus Christ, this is fulfilled. Jesus was and is that offspring through whom the nations would be blessed. He is their deliverer. As Christians, we are that fruit. And God also then has chosen us to be the people who bring that blessing to the world as his followers. As Christians, we are little Christs in the world. At Christmas, as we gaze on Jesus, let us grasp with awe and wonder that this little baby was born to be the Christ, the anointed one who would deliver and bless the nations. Second, we see that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Chapter 1, verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This fulfilled Isaiah 7 and 14. Again, grasp the awe and wonder of this. Jesus, through whom all was made, lay in a manger. God with us. In the Old Testament, God was with his people. God dwelt with his people in the tabernacle and in the temple and through the teaching of the prophets. In the New Testament, God walked with his people through Jesus, talked with his people through Jesus. He healed, challenged, and pointed people to the kingdom of heaven. And now, for us, in the post-resurrection period, as we live in the end times, waiting for Jesus to return, we know that God is with us, his people. He is in us through the wonder of the Holy Spirit. When we come to the Lord in faith, he gives us the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is an awesome truth which we must grasp. The Holy Spirit works in our lives. It convicts us of our sin. It tells us we need the Lord. So when we feel that conviction in our lives, we must repent. We must listen as Christians and as non-Christians. And then we live it out, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us how to live for God's glory, showing the fruit of the Spirit in all aspects of our lives, using our spiritual gifts, the gifts which the Holy Spirit empowers us with, to bring glory to God on this earth and to build up the church. At Christmas, as we gaze on Jesus, let us grasp with awe and wonder that this little baby was Emmanuel, God with us, and grasp the challenge and the encouragement that God is with us right now through the wonder of the Holy Spirit. And then third, we see that Jesus is our ruler and shepherd. Chapter 2, verse 5. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. This prophecy is found in Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. The baby, born and laid in a manger, would become the ruler and shepherd of his people. It's interesting here, combining these two of ruler and shepherd, because it shows us this wonderful truth, this wondrous truth even, that Jesus isn't a distant, cold, selfish ruler who is apart from his people, but a ruler who is a shepherd. A shepherd to his people. And we've seen already he is with his people. Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. As our shepherd, he knows each and every one of us. He knows the good, he knows the bad, he knows our struggles. And he seeks to guide us and to protect us, to help us to live our lives for him, because he cares for us. He loves us. So that we live our lives, as we live our lives, we need to listen to his teachings and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was not a ruler like the world knows rulers, but a sacrificial ruler and a shepherd who was with his people to be their Christ. And this, when we get this, is why we should have him as the ruler and shepherd of our lives, when we realize who he really is. At Christmas, as we gaze on Jesus, let us grasp with awe and wonder that this little baby was born to be a sacrificial ruler and shepherd. In the fulfilled prophecies of the Christmas story, we see these three wonderful and awe-inspiring truths about Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is our ruler and our shepherd. But why are these so important? Why do we need him to be these for us? Well, Matthew says it in chapter 1, verse 21. Because he will save his people from their sins. This is why Jesus was sent to earth. This is the truth that we all need to face up to. That we all need to be saved from our sins. And in the three remaining prophecies we will look at, we see pictures of what Jesus has done for us. Fourth, we see that Jesus calls us from slavery. Matthew 2 and 14. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. This fulfills the prophecy from Hosea 11 and verse 1. And when the Jews would have heard this, they would have immediately start thinking about Moses and Moses calling the people out of slavery in Egypt. Moses, for them in the Old Testament, was that anointed one, the deliverer of his people, who was actually in the presence of God and ruled and shepherded the people. And as we think about the picture of Moses, we can see this in Jesus for us. Jesus, he came to call us from slavery. Slavery to sin. All that we have put in our lives that keeps us from God. Many of which, interestingly, are the things that are taken over Christmas. Like materialism, excess, lustfully doing and willfully doing whatever we want, and selfishness. We need to face up to the fact that without Jesus, we are just slaves to sin. We are lost. But Jesus calls us out of this to shepherd us, to be with us, to deliver us from our sin, because no matter how seriously we have rebelled, Jesus still calls us. And later in the Hosea prophecy, we see this. It says, God says this, my heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, God said. They will follow the Lord. God is compassionate. He seeks to forgive us. And we see the wonder of his compassion in the life of Jesus. At Christmas, as we gaze on Jesus, let us grasp with awe and wonder that this little baby calls us from slavery to sin, and then respond to Jesus. Then fifth, we see that Jesus brings us hope. Matthew 2 and 17. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod killed the babies, there was great distress and hopelessness in Bethlehem. And this fulfills the prophecy from Jeremiah 31 and 15. In this prophecy, Jeremiah was speaking about the sorrow and the helplessness of the exile, God's punishment, the people being taken away, the temple destroyed, Jerusalem destroyed. But the second part of that prophecy, we read this in Jeremiah 31:16. This is what the Lord says: restrain your voices from weeping and your eyes from tears. For your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy. So there is hope for the future, declares the Lord. The Lord encouraged the people with hope, hope for the future. And this is the picture for us. It is of hope. Hope for us through Jesus Christ, the sure and certain hope of heaven. You see, another truth that we need to face up to is that without Jesus, without faith in Jesus and accepting Him, following Him, we have no hope in the future, in death. It is only the sorrow, distress, and hopelessness of hell. No matter how far we feel from God, how unforgivable we feel, listen to Jesus' call from slavery to sin and follow Him. Grasp with awe and wonder the hope that Jesus brings to our living and to our dying. At Christmas, as we gaze on Jesus, let us grasp with awe and wonder that this little baby brings us hope. And then sixth, we see that Jesus was despised. Chapter 2, verse 23. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets: he will be called a Nazarene. Now this, interestingly, doesn't fulfill any one of the prophecies specifically. But rather, Matthew uses this term Nazarene as a derogatory term. In his day, people from Nazareth were despised. Nazareth was a despised town. Here, Matthew is telling us that Jesus would be despised, which fulfilled many of the Old Testament prophecies about the Christ. One of the best known is in Isaiah 53, where Jesus is the suffering servant. Listen to some verses from it. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. During his life, Jesus was loved, but he was also despised. He was questioned, challenged, and attacked by the rulers. He was arrested, and although he was innocent, he was convicted. He was beaten. The crowd shouted, "Crucify him." He was forced to carry his cross, and Jesus died the cursed death on a cross. He was despised. Matthew was telling us how Jesus would die, to ultimately die as our substitute in our place, taking our punishment so that we could be right with God, so that we could have hope and we could escape slavery to our sin. At Christmas, as we gaze on Jesus, let us grasp with awe and wonder that this little baby was born to be despised. Jesus came and died on a cross for us to give us hope, calling us from slavery to sin so that he could be the ruler and shepherd of our lives, to be with us through the Holy Spirit, because he is the Christ. He is our Savior. Let the awe and the wonder of that sink in right now. Let us gaze at Jesus this Christmas and not get distracted by all the other stuff that tries to take our gaze off him. This Christmas, let us stand with St. Francis and passionately tell the world the real meaning of Christmas. We will get many opportunities where we can share the love of Jesus this Christmas in conversations. Let us claim them. Let us use them to witness to the awe and wonder of Jesus' birth and reclaim Christmas for Christ. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you now. And we pray that you will help us to be in awe and wonder of everything you have done for us through Jesus, especially as we gaze on Jesus now. He is the Christ. He is with us. He desires to be our ruler and shepherd, calls us from slavery to sin, giving us hope. And he was despised for us as he died on the cross. Lord, in the silence of this moment, just convict us with what we need to focus on now this Christmas. Lord, help us to be your witnesses in this world, pointing to the wonder of Jesus, reclaiming Christmas for Christ, bringing hope, love, joy to this world, because that is what Jesus has done. Let us bring your hope everywhere we go. Help us to be your disciples, making disciples for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.